You're listening to the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management.
Hello and welcome everyone to the second episode of the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management. In this series, investment experts share their perspectives on the most pressing issues impacting global and domestic markets and how you can prepare your portfolio to benefit from opportunities across markets. Today we have with us Ankit Jain from PGIM India Asset Management in conversation with Surjit Singh Arora, Portfolio Manager and Principal Officer, PGIM India Portfolio Management Services. Over to you, Ankit.
Thanks, Alia. Happy to be back and record on one more podcast. I would like to start today's discussion by a famous investment quote. It is impossible to produce superior performance unless you do something different from the majority. And with this quote in the background, I would like to ask Surjit, what is the secret recipe of your success?
Thank you, Ankit. If you look at the secret recipe, there are two parts to it. One is the investment process and other is the philosophy. So let me take you through the investment process we follow at PGIM PMS. If you look at our portfolios, majority of our investment companies are either debt-free or have very low net debt to equity. We invest in structurally strong companies that are termed as good quality companies. A good quality company is a company that has reached a minimum scale in terms of revenue, has gone through at least one down cycle and emerged as a stronger company, has consistency in terms of cash flows and higher return on capital employed over the last 10 years.
So, Surjit, what would be that minimum scale in terms of revenue?
Good question. So if you look at the minimum in terms of scale of revenue, we normally look at 400 crores as the bare minimum when we look to identify stocks for the portfolio.
Sure. Okay.
So Ankit, if you look at the philosophy which we follow here, is the philosophy of growth at reasonable price, which is a simple yet effective principle of investing that has been time tested for many years. You know, while investing in equities is for growth, equally important is the price one pays for growth. Hence, GARP, which is growth at reasonable price, as a philosophy balances the two tenets of investing, that is value and growth. Now, you have seen our portfolios, right? You can vouch for the same that I am a firm believer in conviction calls getting reflected in my portfolio. So if you look at the weightages assigned to the stocks in the portfolio, we are very happy to have a concentrated portfolio of 20 to 22 stocks, where our top 10 holdings account for 55% of our portfolio approximately.
Sure. I think all renowned investment guru have created a wealth in having a concentrated portfolio, so which will help our listeners resonate very well of your philosophy. Surjit, you are also known for margin of safety calls in your portfolio. How do you come to that decision while creating a portfolio?
That's a great question. I mean, if I go back to history and if I look at last 18 months, market has gone through a very tough time, right? As you rightly pointed out, the margin of safety has to have some process, some philosophy behind it. So just to take your question forward, we always look at price to earning divided by earnings growth, which is nothing but a PEG ratio. When I talk about earnings growth, we normally talk about a 3-year compounded growth in terms of earnings. Let me give you an example. Let's say a company is trading at 40 times 1 year forward PE, and the expected earnings over the next 3 years is 25%. So the simple math is 40, which is your multiple, divided by the earnings growth, which is 25. So 40 divided by 25 is around 1.6 times. So we are very much comfortable with a ratio of PEG, PEG ratio, anywhere between 1 to 1.5 times when we start building the portfolio. And anything in excess of 3 times, we would look at selling. So as a process, no single stock should be more than 10% of our portfolio and no single sector should be more than 25% of our portfolio.
Okay. So, you know, for our listeners to explain margin of safety in, one line, it would be to buy good quality companies at reasonable valuation and then stay invested, for its structural growth story. So, Surjit, as you rightly said, last 18 months have been very, very challenging in the markets. But there are some sectors which you would be playing in your portfolio. So which are those sectors you are bullish on?
Yeah, Ankit. So if you look at, there are 4 sectors where we have been quite positive on, and that is also reflecting in the way we have performed over the last 18 months. So if you look at the sectors which we have been quite positive on, these are industrials, autos, real estate, and building material. So let me take you through the first sector, which is industrials, and our thought process behind the same. A major theme that could play out over a longer term is the Production Linked Incentive Scheme, which is also known as the PLI scheme. Currently, more than $32 billion have been allocated to various sectors under this PLI scheme. Just for the benefit of your understanding, a PLI scheme is a scheme which incentivizes the companies which manufacture in India and have their manufacturing plant in India itself. It is aimed at boosting the manufacturing sector and to reduce the import content. Let me give you some examples. Whether it is a defense company, a bearings company, or a capital goods company, the companies are focusing on import substitution and Make in India thought process.
So, Sujit, you know, if I want to ask you, you know, when you are interacting with these companies, what is their take on these, you know, PLI schemes which government is, you know, launching for various sectors?
Yeah. So, if you look at in our recent interaction with manufacturing companies, many of the companies have reduced their import component by increasing the localization of the components. Bearing companies have not only increased their local content by substituting their import, but also started exporting to their parent companies in a bigger way. So if you look at a lot of you know, bearing companies in India, their export revenues over the last few years have been inching upwards.
Okay.
Now taking your earlier question forward, apart from industrials, we are also looking at autos as a sector. Now, just to throw some data points, on a five-year basis, Nifty Auto delivered a return of 6.25% on a compounding basis versus Nifty 50 returns of 13.3%. Surely, in last 5 years, from a time frame perspective, auto has been one of the underperforming sectors. However, if you look at on a last 1 year basis, the tides have turned. Nifty Auto has delivered a return of 28.5% vis-a-vis 14.3% for Nifty. Now, if you look what had, you know, impacted the auto sector over the last 5 years, there were broadly three headwinds. First and foremost, the cost went up by 15 to 20% of a vehicle due to the transition from BS4 to BS6. BS4 is basically the emission norms which had come into play around 3 to 4 years back. And recently we have seen we transforming to BS6 as the emission norms for the automobile industry. That itself has entailed a cost increase of over 15% for the companies. Second, as we all are aware, COVID led to a break in terms of consumption on automobiles. Add to that, the raw material inflation, which went through the roof, also impacted the profitability margins of these companies. Let me come to the tailwinds now. What happened in last 1 year and why the sector is now in limelight? The first is premiumization trend across the sector leading to better mix. Just to give you an example, if you remember 5 to 10 years back, right, we used to have a small car in our houses. From a small car, we went to a sedan. And today, I'm sure when you ask your friends, relatives, everyone is gung-ho about the SUV segment, which is a sports utilities vehicle segment, right?
Yeah.
So that is what is leading to a better mix for these companies. The second thing is, after COVID, each and every household wants their personal mobility, a personal vehicle for their mobility. And that trend also is leading to a better sales for automobile companies. Lastly, if you look at the raw material, the basket of raw material from the peak, which we saw in the month of April, May last year, it has corrected by 30 to 40%. Given that the demand continues to be relatively resilient, auto companies don't take price cuts. Hence, from their margin visibility or the improvement in margins, they are in a very sweet spot.
You would be comfortable holding a two-wheeler company or a four-wheeler, you know, in your portfolio?
That's a tricky one. But let me try to answer that. So if you look at four-wheelers, within four-wheelers, we prefer passenger vehicles as a segment. As I told you earlier, the premiumization trend, which is happening when people are shifting from a small car to a sedan to SUV, is quite evident in the four-wheeler companies. Whereas within two-wheelers, we are more inclined towards premium segment.
Yeah, I think we all have been reading in papers that, you know, more Mercedes are being sold than, you know, a two-wheeler. So I think our listeners can resonate very well with what you are, you know, saying. So continue, Surjit, if you can spend some time on real estate as you've been talking about sectors.
Yes. So as you rightly mentioned, our third sector where we are quite positive on is the real estate sector. Now, just to give you a background of this sector accounts for 6 to 7% of India's GDP and is the second largest employment generator. If you look at the drivers for this sector, there are basically three drivers which are leading to this sector doing very well. The first is increased urbanization, people moving from, you know, small towns to bigger cities. Second is the aspirational value with real estate. And the third is nuclear families. These drivers are significant in terms of India's growth story in terms of real estate. Now, if you study the period of 2015 to 2020, commercial real estate did very well. However, after COVID, if you look at the residential side of the real estate, it has started to doing quite well in terms of the sales, in terms of the collections which these real estate companies are garnering. Again, if you look at the consolidation which has happened in the industry, just to give you a data point, the grade A developers, today the top 10 developers in India, their share in the overall market has gone up to 27%, which was less than 20% in CY15. Again, if you look at the consolidation which has been happening, there has been the decline in terms of number of developers. So many micro markets have seen 40 to 70% reduction in terms of the number of real estate players in that particular market. Also, if you look at the inventory levels, the average inventory in terms of number of months has reduced from a peak of 40 months to around 26 to 27 months.
Yeah, I think, Suji, we all see people around us only, upgrading their houses from 1 BHK to 2 and then so and so forth. So, within a real estate sector, what would be your preference?
So if you look at this sector, it encompasses three subsectors: residential, commercial, and retail. Within that, we believe residential and retail should do well.
Okay, so I think that's a good update on sectors you are bullish on. Sujit, we have two strategies, Core and Phoenix. What is the current construct of these strategies?
One is the core equity portfolio, which is a multi-cap equity investment approach. In this portfolio, we look at 15 years of listed history, apart from the return on capital employed and the consistency in cash flows, which I alluded to earlier. Now, if you look at the construct of this portfolio, as we speak today, large cap accounts for 37% of the portfolio, mid cap around 41%, and small cap 16%. Here, the top 10 holdings account for 55% of the portfolio, thereby reflecting our conviction calls in the portfolio. The other strategy which we have is the Phoenix portfolio. It mainly invests in structural and cyclical companies, and it's predominantly a small and mid-cap approach. So if you look at the construct of the portfolio currently, small caps account for 50% of the portfolio and mid-cap account for almost 40% of the portfolio. Hence here, the risk profile is different. Given the make of the portfolio, the Phoenix portfolio, which has a tilt towards a small cap oriented approach, it should be given to a client who is okay in investing in high risk strategy. Because as you know, a small and mid cap oriented strategy on a relative basis will have a high risk associated with it. Just to give you a number, the average market cap of our Phoenix portfolio stands at around 18,000 crores.
Sure, thanks, Sujit. I think that's a good update on both the strategies. Now, for our listeners who want to know where they should put their money, whether it is mutual fund or PMS, both mutual funds and PMS are actually complementary to each other. Mutual funds are generally open for everybody, whereas PMS is, for a niche set of investors. In our view, clients should have both mutual funds and PMS. The only differentiation would be PMS. You can only start with a minimum ticket size of 50 lakhs. Whereas in mutual fund, you can start with as low as, 500 rupees. And depending on your risk profile and, your risk appetite, you should choose what suits you best. So to summarize for our listeners, in PMS, we follow growth at reasonable price philosophy, which is GARP. We build portfolio, which is of 20 to 22 stocks across both, Phoenix and Core strategy. Core is more of a multi-cap strategy where you will find a large cap little on the higher allocation along with mid and small cap, whereas Phoenix is a small and mid-cap strategy where you will find small and mid-cap more than large cap. In sectors, we like industrials, autos, real estate and building material. I think that's about it. So, Sujit, I hope I've covered and summarized it pretty well for our listeners.
Absolutely. And thanks, Ankit. It was good chatting with you.
Thanks, Sujit. Thanks so much.
You are listening to the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management. Stay tuned to get more such insights. Remember, investments in products are subject to market risks. There is no assurance or guarantee or warranty that the objectives of any of the products will be achieved. The client can avail the portfolio management services directly from the portfolio manager without any recourse to distributors. We'll be back with another episode very soon, but in the meantime, enjoy this one.
You're listening to the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management.